WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
For the past 20 or 30 years, we've been hearing about nothing but the information age. Now the rage in business is all about knowledge, knowledge management, knowledge workers, knowledge sharing, and the like. According to our linguist, Jeff Numberg, it all goes back to T.S. Eliot.
In a sense, the knowledge management craze originated with T.S. Eliot's famous lines from The Rock. Where is the life we have lost in living? Where is the wisdom we have lost in knowledge? Where is the knowledge we have lost in information? But of course, Eliot's sententious pessimism is a little out of step for modern technocrats. It was left to Al Gore to give it the upbeat turn it needed, in a speech he first gave around 1990. Gore took Eliot's wisdom, knowledge, and information, threw in a couple of other terms like data and understanding, and arranged them in a golden chain of added value. Our challenge is to process data into information, refine information into knowledge, extract from knowledge understanding, and then let understanding ferment into wisdom. This was a vision that technologists and managers could love, with humanity progressing up the ladder rather than down it. But actually, the rungs have been coming together for the last couple of decades. That data into information business first caught on in the 70s as a way of talking about the added value of systems like graphical user interfaces and automatic spreadsheets, which promise to make data more comprehensible. It's true the definition of information as processed data has no real scientific basis. The information that computers traffic in is just the meaningless stuff of ones and zeros, and has nothing to do with the sort of meaningful content that we have in mind when we talk about the information economy and the like. But it was a compelling rhetorical turn which helped to sell a lot of software. And in fact, the definition has even managed to work its way into some dictionaries, which I suppose makes it true. The only problem with all this was that the information technology that organizations were deploying didn't seem to produce any dramatic productivity gains. One popular theory about this failure was that information by itself wasn't enough to turn the trick. It just piled up in individual cubicles where nobody knew how to find it or how to make it useful. That was what led the management gurus to grab onto the next rung of the ladder and establish the new cult of knowledge. You can understand why this would be an appealing move. It's like the difference between medical information and medical knowledge. With the first, you think of a collection of facts and figures. With the second, you think of a community that can put the information to use. Out of that eminently reasonable hypothesis grew the knowledge craze. When it comes to being slaves to fashion, American managers make adolescent girls look like rugged individualists, and before long, the boardrooms and business journals were buzzing with phrases like knowledge assets, knowledge ecology, knowledge creation, and knowledge sharing. The vendors of everything from email to web search tools are billing their products as knowledge management systems. More than 100 companies in the Fortune 500 have established a post of chief knowledge officer, and at Berkeley, they even established a distinguished professorship in knowledge. As it happens, it's in the business school, but I guess that chair could have gone to any department. Now, it's true there are real problems that these people are working on, and a lot of these schemes and systems will lead to real productivity gains. But it isn't clear how much the word knowledge will contribute to this. You have this sense it's become a mantra that people chant hopefully over their shrink wrap and reorganization charts. Before long, the word knowledge will wind up on the dust heap of history, alongside of the linguistic detritus of past vogues, words like quality, empowerment, and corporate culture. The management gurus are a restless lot who treat the English vocabulary as an inexhaustible resource. They go through it like Brazilian farmers burning their way through the Amazon forest. And there's no shortage of new words to appropriate as they work their way up the value-added ladder. The other day, I read an interview with a sociologist who was saying that contemporary wisdom research is in its infancy, and I could picture the gleam in her eye. It struck me that this might be a good place to get in on the ground floor. I don't see myself carving out a second career in wisdomology, but maybe it wasn't too late to register some of the web domain names that people are sure to start looking for in a couple of years. But as with most of my million-dollar schemes, I was already well behind the curve. It turned out that the domain wisdom.com has already been grabbed by a Louisiana outfit that sells web products, and understanding.com is registered to a company that puts together software tutorials. In desperation, I even tried enlightenment.com, but it was taken by somebody else. I'd love to tell you what they do, but when I went searching for enlightenment, the server wasn't responding.
Jeff Numberg is a linguist at Stanford University and the Xerox Palo Alto Research Center.